Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Amen. Thanks so much, Bill, for leading us in the prelude music this morning. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I just want to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. It's great to have you with us this morning. If this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home this Sunday morning. And if you have been with us for a long time, we're grateful to have you here as well. Thank you for joining us. We're in the midst of a sermon series right now about bumper stickers that you see in the world around you. And so I hope that as you've been moving through the summer, maybe you've just taken a moment to take notice. It's been fun to see photographs that folks have sent to us. Hey, check out this, you know, bumper sticker. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're offensive, sometimes they're, I just saw one this morning about, it was a Jeep. I was on a Jeep. I was at the, what we call the Muffin Store, aka Brighton Coffee House and Theater. I was pulling in, and I saw this Jeep, and the Jeep was running over somebody else's stick figure family. And I was like, oh, that's pretty aggressive, you know? It's like, but you see all these different signs in people's windows. Sometimes it tells us more than we want to know about our neighbors. But hopefully this has been kind of a fun and engaging sermon series. Today, we're going to be talking about the end times, the end of the world, which sometimes people have displayed on their bumper sticker. And so we hope this message is informative to you and helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's been so good to be away for the last couple of weeks. Many thanks to Bruce Stark and to Pastor Lynn for leading worship the last couple of weeks. We really appreciated being able to go back to Nebraska. And the other thing we were really excited about is this church sent 20 students to camp in the last 2 weeks ago. Pastor Lindsay and Ariel Jin were the two adult volunteers that went along with our students. They had an amazing time. And so just much gratitude, actually, to all of you who supported those students in camping ministry. If you ask Pastor Lindsay about it sometime this week, you'll notice her face will just beam with joy at having been away at camp for that week. Want to let you know, as you walked in, hopefully you were handed some connection cards. We encourage you to fill those out. You can put them in the offering plate as it goes by later on in the service. You can give us some information about yourself. There are ministries on the back that you can sign up for. We encourage you to do that. There are prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. This is a church that takes very seriously the opportunity to pray over the things that are going on in your heart or in the lives of people that you care about. So please feel free to fill those out as well. I want to share with you just a couple of announcements as we moved in this service together. The first is you have an opportunity to donate to Noah Lunches. We're going to be packing those lunches on July 28th. And so if you're interested and able, we can receive those monetary and food donations by July 24th. The Calvins are helping us with that, and there's an email up there. If you can help with that, we encourage you to sign up and let them know that you're able to bring those items. There's going to be a couple of special dates for Vacation Bible School. Those dates are on the screen. There's an opportunity to drop in and help with decorating the church for Vacation Bible School. A couple of those dates have taken place, but the next one is Tuesday, July 16th, 1 to 4 p.m., Wednesday and Thursday, the 17th and 18th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Tuesday through Thursday, July 23rd through 25th. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to help because this church will be completely transformed from its current state into a beautiful state for Vacation Bible School. There's a drop-in help with VBS setup on Sunday, July 21st from 1 to 6 p.m. and the same on Sunday, July 28th from 1 to 6 p.m. as well. So if you like decorating, please join us for that. We'd love to have your help with that. Finally, if you're volunteering for Vacation Bible School, on Sunday, July 28th, there will be an informational meeting, a training and orientation at 12:15, right after the 11 o'clock service. So if you are helping with VBS, please put that on your calendar so that you can be here for that as well. There's a mission that we're supporting with Vacation Bible School. On Tuesday, we're asking folks to bring diapers and wipes. Wednesday, cereal. And Thursday, canned tuna and chicken. And so we encourage you, if you're able to bring those items in, they'll be donated to Bountiful Harvest, and we'll take up a collection of those things. Finally, the United Methodist Women are putting on a salad luncheon. That'll be taking place on August 15th. If you're able to come support that, all of the dollars that are raised through that experience go to missions. So we encourage you to come support and be a part of that experience. $12 for adults, $5 for children who are 5 to 12, and then children under 5 are free. So we encourage you to not only come, but also to bring your friends for that experience. So with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us as we sing our opening hymn. Let us stand and sing unto the Lord.
Join me in the opening prayer. Lord and Savior, our hope is in you. We thank you for the promise of a life with you beyond this earthly life. Be with us in our faith journey. Guide us toward the right path so that we may love and serve you with the life you have blessed us with. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much, Paula, for reading the scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who has prepared a place for us for eternity in the heavens. Amen. Well, it seems like the last couple of times that I have had an opportunity to preach here in Brighton, there's been an event in the previous 24 hours that sort of derailed the direction that maybe I thought I would at least start out with this morning. And as we begin this time together, I think it's important, in the midst of an election year, in the midst of all the political drama that's happening in our country, to name out loud that we as a praying community are praying for the end of violence in our society unilaterally. And regardless of how you feel politically, I hope that you're able to find in your heart a place of, just sincere prayers for not only President Trump, but also his family, who undoubtedly had a phenomenally scary day yesterday as they were rejoined together. And you certainly pray for the family of the individual who was just there, exercising their ability to be a part of a democracy, a part of our society. And I just continue to grieve. Every time you hear about guns being fired in our world and shots being fired and somebody being hit, by those bullets, I continue to dream of the world that's promised, frankly, in this scripture passage, a world where we're free of violence, where we're free of fear of gathering in public spaces where there are lots of people, because this storyline is becoming all too common. And so my prayer for us as a community, and I said that this morning when we were praying for this worship service this morning, that we would all find folks that we disagree with, and that we would find ways of building relationships. Sometimes folks who are a lot smarter than me say that war is the absence of conflict. It's when you get to a point when you can no longer tolerate the differences that exist between you, and you can't manage the conflict, that at that point, it's far more comfortable to resort to violence because you're no longer able to hold the differences that exist between us. And my prayer is that we can continue to have conversations and that we can someday bend our swords into plowshares, that the lion can lay down with the lamb, and that God's reign of peace and tranquility can be the place that we hang our hat. And so I certainly hold in prayer not only the former President Trump, but also all those elected officials who are, gathering and speaking in public places, that violence and the hate has no place in our world, not only in our country, but I dream of a day when everybody can feel comfortable and safe in the places that they occupy. This morning, we're talking about the rapture. So from one thing to another, one heavy moment to perhaps another. When I picked this, I kind of thought I could get away with kind of talking a little bit tongue-in-cheek about the rapture, because every once in a while when you pull up behind somebody, it says, in case of rapture, this vehicle will be unoccupied, which is kind of unnerving, right? To imagine like airplane pilots, you know, all of a sudden getting lifted up into the clouds, into the heavens, and perhaps like vehicle operators in the cars right in front of you. If you've ever read this book series, Left Behind, it was made popular, I think, maybe a couple of decades ago. It's sort of a story of what the end times could look like from a particular theological perspective. And there's just this chaos and pandemonium when roughly half the inhabitants of the earth are all of a sudden, you know, just sucked up because they have this relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus returns, there's some religious folks who believe that this is kind of the way that it's going to happen, is that about half of the folks will get evacuated and sort of brought up into the sky, and the rest of the folks are going to be left behind in the rapture. And there may be, you know, some of you all who hold on to that belief, and Jesus was asked a question about, you know, when is it that you plan to come back? And the Apostle Paul's answer was, like, don't even bother getting married, because it could be within our life cycle. Don't bother having kids. Don't bother getting married. Just stay single. And Jesus will be back in short order, and we will be able to experience the reign of God here on earth. You may also be thinking about our very own communion liturgy. In the United Methodist Church, we proclaim in the midst of our communion liturgy, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We proclaim that Jesus was here. He was literally, you know, present on earth 2,000 years ago, and at some point in the future, we anticipate, in fact, we even hope for Jesus's return, and the Bible is filled with all kinds of different ideas or images about what it might look like when Jesus comes back. For some folks, there's some comfort in believing that Jesus's return will bring about a whole lot of chaos. And in fact, even in today's society, it's fairly popular to suggest that we're living in the end times, which, by the way, is nothing new. For nearly 2,000 years, people have looked at current events and suggested that we might be living in the very times that the Bible describes. Some of the most famous folks who predicted the end times have suggested nearly 4,000 different exact dates that the end times might come about. So far, fortunately, most of those predictions have turned out not to come to fruition, but rest assured there are plenty more predictions in the future that continue to suggest that someday the world might come to a crashing close. And you may wonder, like, where is the hope in all of this preaching and teaching? And I have to say, I believe that there's a portion of this particular strand of religion that focuses more on our deepest fears, that someday the sky might actually fall, or an asteroid might actually strike, or the super volcano underneath Yosemite National Park might explode, or perhaps it would be nuclear warfare that brings about the end of the world. Some of those are legitimate fears that may actually come to fruition sometime in the future. And in the midst of that, we also have biblical images that I personally hold on to that are far more hope-filled. Part of those teachings also come from the book of Revelation, when essentially John, who's oftentimes imagined to be writing the book of Revelation from an isolated island of Patmos, he sits down and dreams of a day when Jesus comes back and heaven, which most of us assume is somewhere else in some other place, and even Paul sort of talks about it like somewhere up in the sky with the air, suggests that somehow that place of heaven comes literally right here to the earth. When Jesus goes about his healing ministries and he bends down on a knee and he heals somebody and tells them to get up, and he says sometimes, the kingdom of God or heaven has come to you this day, salvation has come to you this day, which is to suggest that there may be moments in your life as you move through all of the experiences where you're like, you know what? If I'm going to go to heaven someday, I hope it's exactly like this moment I'm experiencing right now. It's also true that sometimes people are extremely anxious about the other path that oftentimes gets preached about or taught about, this whole idea of people going and ending up in hell, which when I think about what hell might look like, when I think about what condemnation or suffering might look like, it's very easy for me to just say, can you imagine spending eternity in the complete absence of God? C.S. Lewis, one of the great Christian theologians of our time, wrote this. He said, if there is to be a hell, I believe that the gates are locked from the inside out, which is to suggest that in our moment of death, when we go and stand right in front of God and look God in the face, and God reads us the riot act of all of the stupid things that we've done in our life, we have this moment, I believe, right? For some of us, that book will be thick. So maybe it will be more than just one moment. But God says, despite all of this, despite all of the terrible things that you've done or the mistakes that you've made or the shortcomings that you've had in the midst of your life, I forgive you. That's the promise that we have in Jesus. And Jesus, you know, it literally creates this opportunity for us to spend eternity with God. And C.S. Lewis believed that there would be some folks who, for whatever reason, standing in the presence of God with God reading the riot act on them, essentially all knowing, being aware of every bad decision you've ever made, who are unwilling to transgress that boundary into heaven, and they instead retreat and go back into a place, for whatever reason they might have, of hell. I don't have any idea what the world will look like when it comes to an end. As I mentioned before, there are always clairvoyant folks who point to current events, to current political realities, that point to natural disasters, that point to all kinds of things happening in the world, suggesting these are the signs. This is exactly what Revelation is talking about. This is the moment. We're living in it right now. Get yourself right. If you notice, most of these folks very quickly add on to their proclamation of the end of the world a very strong-handed statement that it's time for you to repent and turn your life around. In other words, that proclamation is very closely paired with this idea that it's time for you to change. I'd say it slightly differently. I believe that all of Scripture points to God winning in the end. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know all of the particularities and details of what's going to transpire between here and there, but this I believe with all of my heart. Someday, every hungry person is going to have food. Someday, nobody is going to have to walk miles to have access to clean and safe drinking water. Someday, we're going to stop fighting with each other. Someday, I have a dream that every need will be provided for. Someday I have a dream that instead of having to work, we can ride our bicycles 44 miles like George Moses did yesterday. Someday we'll have a complete restoration of our bodies, which for some of us, that's getting to be increasingly good news. For some of us, the hope of the kingdom of heaven coming to this world might mean the end of conflict and fear of safety. I hope that in the end times we no longer argue and fight about resources because there will be more than enough to go around. I don't hope for earthquakes or the cicadas, or the killer bees that were coming after COVID, or the spread of disease, or earthquakes, or famine, or starvation. I don't hope for an asteroid or a meteorite to hit the earth. I don't hope for volcanic destruction or hurricanes that teach us that perhaps the earth is getting upset with some of the things that have happened to the surface of the planet. Instead, what I hope for is this. When Jesus was asked the question about what the end of the world might look like or what his return might ultimately look like, he just said, keep on notice. When he was asked what it means to be faithful, he said, when I showed up and I was hungry, you gave me some food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And Paul, when he was wrestling with what it might look like, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died so that you might grieve as others who have no hope. I say this to every family that I meet with who I'm doing a funeral for. I believe that this isn't the end of your loved one's story. Someday you're going to get to see them again. The love that you shared, the life that you created, the memories that you had with one another are gifts that will cascade down through generations. It's a gift that keeps on giving. The love that they had with you never ends. And Paul says, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, don't lose your hope, don't believe that this is the end of their story. Because that someday God, it says right in 1 Thessalonians, someday God's going to bring you and gather you back up with all of the people who have died before us. The United Methodist Church does not hold a strong view of what lots of folks call the rapture. It's not to say that there might not be death and devastation and famine and all kinds of things, but frankly, most of us in the United Methodist Church say that in some way, shape, or form, many of the disasters that exist in our world today, some of them are our own fault. You know, the thing that hurts me most is there's enough water for everyone right now, and there's enough food. And yet there's hunger and starvation. This is not God's wrath and judgment on us. Although I don't think God is pleased about the distribution of those resources. I was reading recently that if everybody lived at the level of the American middle class, the carrying capacity of our earth would only be 2 billion people. And we're approaching 8. We struggle with how to share. We struggle with how to love. And I guess that brings us back to the beginning. As we move increasingly close to this election, which many people have pinned their ultimate hopes, dreams, and expression of expectation on, my hope for you is this. You would find a way, just like Jesus encouraged us, to love one another. At the end of the day, that's all we can control. The rest of it is out of our hands. Nobody knows the time and the hour of Christ's return. But when Jesus comes back, I believe it'll be good. And I believe God is in control, even if the person in front of you gets evacuated. Thanks be to God. God will win. Amen.
Oh, whoa. Rose and I are going to be up here singing a song, and everybody's familiar with it, or a lot of people are, and we have no need to sing this all by ourselves. So if you want to join in, we'd love to see some smiling faces and lips going like this and more sound coming our direction. So join in if you're ready.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on, brothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, the starry crown. Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Come on, fathers, let's go down. Down to the river to pray.
Key change.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down. Let's go down. Don't you want to go down? Come on, fathers, let's go down. Down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down. Come on down, come on, sinners, let's go down, down to the river to pray. So I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Today's altar flowers are in honor of Larry Boss to celebrate his birthday. Happy birthday. So I usually tell you that I'm not the best prayer. I have to come up with some words to put together to pray with you on the days that I'm here as host. And when I'm praying by myself, I'm a horrible prayer. I can't come up with a darn thing to say, so I just kind of go at it. But I have to share with you that I was overcome with the best words to put together in prayer over the last couple of weeks. So 2 weekends ago, went on a long weekend trip down about 4.5-5 hours into Ohio for some antiquing. So Friday to Monday. And the reason why I share this story with you, and it's going to be a crib note version because it was a long, drawn-out process, but the reason why I share this with you is because I feel like this was my moment to actually get a vision of what heaven is like, about what truly could happen when you pray, about it. It was like... I can't even put words together. It was like a moment where I truly felt like God had come down. So this weekend, we went Friday into Monday. We got down to our Airbnb on Friday. And that night, pulling out to do a quick little, hey, let's go into town and get an ice cream, hit something and the radiator went out. It sacrificed itself for the glory. And It was going to be a tow, get the car fixed kind of thing. And when do these things always happen? On a Friday at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, when nobody's open, and we're five and a half hours away. Well, the Airbnb owners let us borrow their car, gave us recommendation for a neighbor that ended up working until 4 o'clock in the morning to get my car done on a Sunday. And literally, so this happened, and I was sitting on the porch in this glorious place, and I prayed the best prayer that I ever, I was overcome with prayer. And that was when the Airbnb owner called. I had texted them what happened, and they called and said, we feel so horrible, please take our car And I was like, what? What? And I feel like that was a true, like, glimpse. That whole weekend, I just kept going, who does that? And with this, the sermon that Pastor John, I think it was that God does that through us. So I'm going to pray with you. So pray with me, and let's see what happens. We lift up to you, Lord, our prayers, praises, and thanks as individuals and as a community seeking to follow your teachings, be guided by your word, and to help us to spread these words to others. Our prayers go out for many needs and wants, some large and universal, and some small and personal. We pray for peace in the minds and hearts of those in need, peace amongst the worlds that face violence, and for those that find the violence in their own houses. We pray for those seeking shelter, food, or medicine. We pray for those experiencing trauma from natural disaster, victimization, or challenges with physical or mental health. Help us to remember to pray for those in need beyond ourselves, to pray for ways that we can help to serve. We speak to you prayers for Gerald and Ken Klochak as they receive our prayer quilts. May these help to comfort them in their times of need. May we praise your name for all of the ways that you assist us and all of the paths that you provide for us to assist others. We do not always know your plan, but may we praise you even during those times that our plan and yours seem to diverge. Watching over us is challenging and sometimes a tedious task. When we constantly question you, or we ask for more, or we even turn our backs, only to come back when we realize what we have done. This deserves a great deal of praise for your steadfast love. As humans, we tend to take life for granted and pick apart those around us to see if they are deserving of our praise. But may we take lessons from you through your forgiving ways and not save our praises only for big events, but for all the small things. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your seeing worth in us even when we need forgiveness for so many petty, harmful things we do every day. Thank you for creating us with so many differences, and then giving us the heart to see beyond these surface differences and into the depths of our humanity. Thank you for allowing us redemption and for giving us the will to move on from mistakes, the ability to make goals, and the ability to grow throughout our lives, to never be stagnant in our knowledge or wisdom. And thank you for sending us miracles in our times of need. You answer our prayers both behind the scenes, but also right out in the open. You send your people from the most unlikely places to surround us with your love, and we lift you up. You send down from heaven the spirits of those that we have lost to guide and encourage us, to remind us of the kingdom of heaven that awaits us. And now we lift up to you the prayers and praises that are on our own individual hearts. And now let's pray together, saying those words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Who does that? I'm going to tell you, it's Tom and Carol Miller from Leesburg, Ohio. So if you can shoot them up a little prayer of thanksgiving. Whoop. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Janice Sproul, as he just said. A lot of you may remember last year I did a big book sale that was to go to our mission, the Readers to Leaders. And so I'm hoping to do another book event, but a little bit different than what we did last year. But last year I had purchased like a lot of books. And we did raise money for Readers to Leaders, about $700. We took about 300 books up to Redbird Mission. And then I also sold some at the little craft thing they had at Whitmore Lake. And that money went to the women's group. But so it's going to be a book exchange. And these posters I'll put back out there. They were out front. The idea is that everybody will donate new or gently used books. These are children's books we're collecting, not adults. And reading is just one of the best things you can do with children, providing them books and also reading to them. So we want people to donate the books starting next weekend. And then we want to start people picking up the books the following weekend on the 28th and to hopefully make a donation to the van. And, whoops, oh, they're sticking together. Okay. So the special mission this year, most of you know, is a van for Redbird. And so let's try to get that van. Like Pastor John said, we are getting close. So we want to get the van, and we also want to be able to fill it up with lots of things to take to Redbird. So that's part of what I'm hoping that we will get a lot of money for this. And so what did I say? Let's see. Okay. So you donate. We'll have a jar out there at the book sale for people to put donations in. And, of course, anybody that wants to make a large donation, go directly through the church, like if you're writing a check or doing it online. And I'm hoping that all the children that come to the Bible school will get at least one book, and maybe the parents can contribute a little bit. But even if they can't, I want the kids to have books. And the reason said that books, getting the books in children's hands is just one of the best things you can do to help them be successful, not just in school, but in their life. And so I've always tried to do a lot of books to children, and so we won't bring in books and then pick up more books and get them out to kids, and we might take a few more of them up to Redbird, and any books that we don't get picked up, we will be contributing them to some other children's charities to get the books in the kids' hands. So
Thank you so much, Shannon.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank and praise you for all you have given us in this life and for the promise of eternal life with you. Help us to be good stewards of your gifts. Use these offerings we bring today to grow disciples in your name so that your kingdom will grow beyond these walls. Amen.
Well, as you go out into this world, I pray that you would sow signs of hope and peace and reconciliation, that you would be ambassadors living with one foot here on earth, but also one firmly planted in the hope that you have in the life to come. I hope that you'd live as a dual citizenship, one who holds the rights and privileges of being a citizen of this world, but also one who believes in the rights and the privileges and the responsibilities of being in heaven with God eternal. As you depart from this place, I pray that you would experience the hope and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all is in God's control. I hope that you'll love one another, even when you don't see eye to eye. Go out with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.